There's a story about Michelangelo that when he began his great project to carve a statue of David, he spent months simply staring at a huge block of marble before he even took a chisel to it. And after a few months of his coming into the studio and looking at the block of stone, someone asked Michelangelo what on earth he was doing, to which he replied, "Working." Large percentage of the human brain is given over to the business of sight. A much larger proportion of our brain, for instance, than in dogs, who are much better at hearing and smelling than we are. And so it's not surprising that we have the expression, seeing is believing. But as significant as seeing is in our lives, the story of Michelangelo shows the importance of not yet seeing. While not yet seeing served a specific artistic purpose for Michelangelo, for us it serves an even more crucial role. For us, not yet seeing is the foundation of hope. In today's epistle, St. Paul is writing to the Christians in the Greek city of Thessalonica. And he tells them, "Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face." And in his letter to the Romans, Paul writes, "Hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? Hope, which along with faith and love is one of the three theological virtues Paul identifies in his first letter to the Corinthians, cannot exist if everything we long to see is right in front of our face. Many of us are especially well practiced in the art of not yet seeing, and so we know hope very well. Some of us have not seen our parents or children or brothers and sisters in months, perhaps even years. And we pray most earnestly, as Paul says, that we may see them again face to face. Some of us have moved hundreds or thousands of miles from our home to find ourselves here this morning. And we hope to see again one day the places of our youth and the people who made us who we are today. Almost all of you, I suspect, could come up with a list of places and people not yet seen and yet fervently hoped for. Hope, as one of the theological virtues given to us by God, allows us to cultivate what Thomas Aquinas called the cardinal virtues of prudence, temperance, fortitude, and justice. In other words, hope allows us to be patient people who are strong in the face of adversity and who can envision and work for a just society. Without hope, we would simply not be able to strive for God's kingdom here on this earth. Early episode of the TV show Seinfeld, I'm sure some of you remember that show, had the character Kramer telling his friend George that he had decided to leave New York for the sunny shores of California. And when George asks him why on earth he would do such a thing, Kramer responds to George with a question. "Do you ever yearn, George? Because I yearn." George, in a rare moment of honesty, replies, "I don't know. I crave all the time." It's in this distinction between yearning and craving that we find our most profound hope. It's natural to hope for specific events to take place in this life, and we often crave to have certain things in our own lives. But the deepest hope we can experience is the yearning simply to be in the presence of God and to be a part of the building of God's kingdom on this earth. That is a yearning we should all have. And that yearning gives our life meaning. In his letters, Paul uses the noun hope more than 24 times. Jesus does not use it once. And that is because Jesus is our hope. When we are in Christ's presence, hope is no longer necessary. Just as in heaven, hope has already served its purpose because all hope has been fulfilled. Jesus' followers didn't always understand this. In fact, after Christ's death, his disciples, distraught after Jesus' execution, said, "We had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel." After 3 years of following Jesus, they still had visions of a military Messiah who would drive the Romans from the Holy Land and reestablish the Davidic kingship. They were still confused as to the real nature of Christ's mission on this earth. In our own lives, rather than simply hoping for specific outcomes from Christ the way the disciples sometimes did, our deepest hope should be to serve Christ, to know Christ, and finally to be with Christ. This, in fact, was the final hope of Simeon, a man whom the Gospel of Luke describes as righteous and devout. And Simeon had received a vision from the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah, the Christ. And one day, he came to pray in the temple in Jerusalem, just as the Holy Family entered to present their newborn child. And taking Jesus in his arms, Simeon called out to God, "Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel." This hope of Simeon's, this hope to know Christ, is still the best hope of the world. Of the three virtues which Paul lists in 1 Corinthians, faith, hope, and love, hope is often the forgotten middle child. We talk a lot about faith and constantly about love, but in Advent, hope takes center stage. In this Advent season, this time of not yet seeing, let us strive to be like Simeon, whose hope was in Christ himself. So, faith, hope, love abide, these three. And one of the greatest of these is hope. Amen.